from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's June the 19th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator, located in Lexington. In agricultural news, just one story for the day. Another day, another veto from the president's desk. I'll have more shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And then closer to the end of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers on this Thursday afternoon as they settled in Chicago. A lot of red across the grains floor from the Board of Trade. July wheat futures were down 23 cents at 881. September at 898 and three quarters, down 23 and a quarter. And December wheat at $9.22, down 23 and a half cents. July corn futures, $7.27 and three quarters, 18 and a half cents lower. September futures down 18 and a half at 741 and three quarters. New crop December corn at 761 and a half, down 18 and a half cents. And the March corn futures at $7.76, down 18 and a quarter. July soybean futures, $15.45 and a half, 10 and a half cents lower today. August at 1548, down 13. September futures at 1528, down 17 and a half, and November beans at $15.21 and a half, down 21 and one half cents. July bean meal futures up $2.40, $419.50 the final trade on the day. July bean oil at 64.12, down 134. June live cattle from the CME Group's livestock side, 95.17 and a half, down 95 cents. August at 103.45, down 45 cents. August feeder cattle at 111.10, up 60. September up 32 and a half at 113.20. And the July lean hog futures settled at 74.27 and a half, down 57 and a half cents. August at 75.45, we're down 62 and a half. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets are doing at this hour. July crude oil futures are now trading at $131.80. That's down $4.88 a barrel. The August at $134.55, down $2.62 today. July ethanol at $2.86.09 is down 6 and 8 cents. August at $2.85 is down 9 and a half cents for the day. Natural gas trading the nearby July at $12.86 and 8 cents. That's 34 and 2 cents lower. And the heating oil trading the July 14 and a half cents lower at $3.71 and 5 tenths of a cent. July propane at $182 and 7 cents is unchanged from yesterday. And June gold futures at $901.70 are up $10.80 at this hour. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,078. That's just about 50 points higher. And the U.S. dollar at 73.48 is up 0.04 for the afternoon. The CRB index is down 5.23 at 451.59 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region. From our own Ed Kieser, a flood warning, of course, is in effect for some rivers in northern and western and southern Illinois and in southern Indiana. That until further notice. Tonight in west central and southern Illinois, far southwestern Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere to be partly cloudy. Lows this evening from 52 in northeastern Indiana to 62 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow in west central and southern Illinois and far southwestern Indiana, Ed says mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, a few widely scattered showers and thunderstorms will develop. Highs tomorrow will range from 78 in northern Indiana to 86 in the south. Let's take a look at what's been happening In the world of agricultural futures this afternoon, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Dan Zwicker is with us from ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what the marketplace did today. I was reading on the wire service that there was a lot of liquidation that took place, long liquidation that took place around 12:30, but it didn't really give a reason why. Do you have a good one?
Well, I think probably the one that stares everybody in the face more than anything is that the technical indicators that a lot of traders follow were clearly in the highly overbought category. You had one that I usually watch is the relative strength index, and that's an index that takes a look at the average gains on a daily basis versus average losses. And, of course, with this last big push up, especially last week, it started a week before, those types of indicators, because we were basically gaining every day, got into the highly overbought category. We were up into the high 80s, 90. That is usually a strong indication that the market is ripe anyway for a period of consolidation, kind of a setback. And like I said, Chicago is driven by commission, so you did see some long liquidation, I think, take hold based upon mostly an overbought technical condition.
An overbought technical condition, so nothing really has changed in the countryside. Are they worried yet about CRP coming out and some thoughts that Washington might do that?
Well, yeah, if you want to, the fundamental picture, yes, there's all kinds of things to worry about. Possibly letting ethanol from South America coming in to ease the energy situation here to maybe put some downward pressure on gasoline. That, of course, would have a negative impact to the ethanol producers that are already in the red and beginning to shut down. So you are seeing some ethanol plants beginning to shut down. So you are this last run-up in corn, this last dollar, dollar and a quarter in corn, you did begin to basically what we call ration demand. So we have had some ethanol plants shut down. Livestock producers are looking at all of the substitutes. Soybean meal demand is slowing a little bit. They're just looking at every substitute you can see. So this last run-up in prices did hit a nerve in many of the industries or sectors, and we are seeing a slowdown in demand. Now, that doesn't mean that demand won't come back. It's just that there's kind of a slowdown or looking at alternate sources of demand. And the market, I think, like I said, it got overbought. There's talk about maybe slowing world economy. You got crude oil prices down here sharply today, so then that kind of adds a little bit to the negative complex over in the ag commodities.
Do we have confirmation of ethanol producers shutting down? Where? What kinds of things are happening?
I can't give you the exact. Yes, there are many ethanol plants that have shut down due to poor margins and unavailability to get cash corn, as well as rail cars. So, and a lot of that has to do also with the flood situation in Iowa. That has disrupted some rail situations and that. But, yes, there's upwards of 10 plants that have either slowed down or shut the doors till further notice.
Yes, because if you look at it and you say shut down, that means one thing when we're looking at $7 corn prices. But if you say shut down and it's related to the rainfall and flood waters, that's an entirely different.
Most of it is the red ink, though. There is, for the most part, it's red ink.
All right. So what does this mean to you on the cash grain side of the marketplace for either old or new crop corn sales?
Well, I think on the old crop, what it does is it puts downward pressure in basis levels, especially probably more so in the state of Iowa than any place, because Iowa is a little more dependent upon the ethanol crush. The Cedar Rapids facilities, everybody's shut down, so there's, you know, and that's a major crushing town. So you have the crushing plants shut down in Cedar Rapids, so that is backing up rail cars, that's backing up trucks and everything until they get back online. So what we're seeing is a reflection of weaker basis levels in those areas. But in those areas, though, other areas, we've seen stronger basis levels as grain trade has tried to move grain into areas that needed it, that's plugged up maybe in the state of Iowa or thereabouts.
Has Decatur increased capacity at Tate & Lyle and ADM at this point?
Well, our capacity is at full tilt, so there's not a whole lot we can increase at. I don't know anything about the competition, but we do, you know, all of these crushing plants have time to time shut down. It's kind of like running a combine. There's just a million of things that can go wrong in a crushing plant, so they have to shut down from time to time for repair. But nothing has really stopped here in Decatur.
For Illinois, you have some unique situations, I guess, because I would assume that because Iowa's shut down, let's just say Iowa shut down, that should mean that basis levels in Illinois would be higher, potentially.
Well, rail basis levels have jumped. I mean, being a crusher, of course, we're soybean meal product sellers, so not only did that shut down the Iowa processing plants, but the river locations are also shut down. Processors
right.
along the river shut down. So basis levels on rail for soybean meal have jumped dramatically because there's a limited supply, at least at the time, because the rest of it is all plugged up in the river system someplace.
Anything to add on the livestock sector or other sectors before I let you go for the day?
Well, livestock sectors are, they're feeling the pinch, and like I said, all indications is that they are, looking at all forms of feed alternatives to get by in here to stop any kind of liquidation, which is good. At least they haven't really seen any kind of significant liquidation.
All right. Thanks much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Agricultural Council of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce, presenting Come Wine With Us this Thursday, June 19th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Hardy's Reindeer Ranch in Rantoul. The event will feature information on local agriculture, wine tasting, and live music.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the WILL studios on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It is a land-grant institution.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In today's agricultural news, as expected, the president again vetoed the farm bill yesterday. The veto statement was read on the House floor ahead of a successful override vote.
I veto this bill fully aware that it is rare for a standalone farm bill not to receive the president's signature, but my action today is not without precedent. In 1956, President Eisenhower stood firmly on principle, citing high crop subsidies and too much government control of farm programs among the reasons for his veto. For similar reasons, I am vetoing the bill before me today. Signed, George W. Bush, the White House, June 18, 2008.
Floor debate on the veto override was very short, with just 1 minute granted to an opposing voice, Arizona's Jeff Flake.
1 minute is hardly time to speak against this bill. Here we have the president standing up and saying, this bill is bloated. This bill is far too big. It spends far too much. Yet the same people who were blaming the president for not standing up to spending are voting now to override the president when he says enough is enough. This is wrong.
But the majority of the House again sided with Peterson and Goodlatte, voting 317-109 to override the president's veto. The Senate followed with an 80-14 vote to override. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL, public radio for the farming world from the University of Illinois, a land-grant institution. I'm your host, Todd Gleason. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program and Commodity Week and other agricultural programming you can download free of charge as an MP3 file and listen to anytime you'd like. There's also an absolutely free weekend newsletter we'll deliver to you in your email. Just hit subscribe. It's on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. In today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says she has a handle on the real culprit behind the rising price of food.
In Illinois and throughout the country, anxiety is on the rise in the most routine of places, in the aisles and checkout lanes of the local grocery store. Both prices and stress levels are increasing. The increased prices staring back on a grocery store receipt had a corresponding effect on the smaller balance staring back on an ATM receipt. Unfortunately, the amount in our paychecks is not keeping pace with these escalating costs. Families are being forced to revisit monthly budgets and make upward adjustments for food and rely on a smaller pool of funds to absorb the rest. This anxiety has resulted in an increased attention and discussion aimed at identifying the primary causes of rising food prices on a worldwide scale. Unfortunately, our nation's attempts to develop clean and domestically produced energy sources have borne much of the criticism. The critics suggest that if America's renewable energy and agricultural policies were different, food prices and world hunger would subside. A good argument, but a short-sighted one. The rising anxiety experienced in the grocery store aisles and checkout lanes is less associated with our nation's renewable energy and agricultural policies and more associated with the anxiety experienced in another routine location, the gas pump. The price associated with every product purchase is a function of two efficiencies, efficiency of production and efficiency of distribution. This is especially true for food prices. America's farmers have a rich legacy of producing more with less. This trend continues to present as more efficient techniques, wide adaptation of a technology, and higher performing seed results in production yields unimagined years ago. These production advances have increased America's ability to not only maintain nutrition and independence, but to provide life-sustaining protein and fiber to the poor and malnourished in other parts of the world. The escalation in food prices is not a production problem. The primary culprit for today's rising food prices is a more costly distribution system, which is significantly impacted by the escalation of the price of oil. A rise in the price of crude oil not only equates to a more expensive gallon of gasoline, but also a more expensive gallon of milk. In reality, a $1 increase in the cost of fuel at the pump has three times the impact on food prices as a $1 increase in the per bushel cost of corn and soybeans. The more expensive fuel becomes, the more essential it becomes to devote attention and resources to ensuring our transportation system is as efficient as possible. Otherwise, the ripple effect of rising oil prices will continue to be more pronounced than is justified. Put simply, to ignore infrastructure is to invite higher food prices. President Dwight Eisenhower, one of the great proponents of a vibrant infrastructure and whose signature established America's interstate highway system, argued how our nation is sustained by easy transportation of people and goods. May our nation's current leaders demonstrate similar vision and resolve in making our transportation and distribution system more efficient, and in the process ensuring that the prices and the anxiety levels at the grocery aisle and at the pump start heading in a different direction. This is Amy Rochka with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochka's comments are her own. They reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, give us a call at 217 333-0850.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us today from Lexington, Illinois, is Bill Mayer. He's located in the elevator there and works with Roach Ag Marketing. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I'd like to talk a little bit in depth about the cash grain market this afternoon and see how things, if they have at all, have changed in the last 2 weeks as Iowa has been shut down.
Yeah, and one of the things we saw here the last couple of days is a couple of major corn plants there in Cedar Rapids did close because of the water and the flooding, and that's definitely made a difference as far as the Iowa situation out on the farm. I mean, basically, there's probably deliveries that were going to go into there that didn't. As far as its ripple effect over in the this part of the country, I'm not sure that there's a lot. We've got the river influencing things here more probably. And, of course, the Gulf bases has been stronger because they can't get corn down the river. The eastern part of Illinois has been stronger because they do have a rail that goes down towards, you know, to the Gulf to bypass the river. And in the processor market, that's really not, you know, we haven't seen a lot of change there, maybe even a little bit weaker over the last week, but partially that's due to the prices going higher, you know, moving a dollar in the last 10 days.
Have farmers in this part of the world taken advantage after they've gotten the crops in of making some new cash sales, or are they just making deliveries at this point of sales that are on the books? What kinds of things?
Yeah, I think we've seen I think exactly what you said. We saw some additional cash sales made by producers in the areas where they feel comfortable with their crop at this point. Last week with the market up as much as it was, we saw quite a few cash buyers pull out of the market, too. So I think we've got some situation where people wanting to make some additional new crop cash sales and may not have that opportunity right now.
Did the market action and the liquidation in Chicago scare you at all today, or was it mostly expected?
Well, I think we were up 11 days in a row on corn, 11 sessions in a row, I should say. To have a day that we're down less than 20 cents, I guess, is to be expected. I think Dan hit the nail on the head. There are some things going on out here in the fundamental side of things with, you know, talk about regulations and talk about negative ethanol margins and that should make one take note, but I don't think you want to panic.
All right, and quickly, your bids for the day?
Cash corn 683, new crop 696, beans 1515 and 1441.
Okay, thanks much.
Thanks.
Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons in just 2 minutes. We'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather forecast. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
It's National Martini Day. The origin of the martini is uncertain, but its forerunner is often considered the Martinez, a cocktail with sweet vermouth and Old Tom gin. Of course, there are modifications. Winston Churchill once said that the perfect martini involved pouring a glass full of cold gin and looking at the bottle of vermouth. On this day in agricultural history in 1941, General Mills introduced Cheery Oats. Each piece of the oat-shaped cereal is 1/2 inch in diameter and was manufactured from the barrel of a puffing gun at high temperature. The name was changed to Cheerios in 1945 to avoid a conflict with a competitor who suggested they had exclusive rights to use the word oats in a commercial name. And in 1977, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline began carrying oil from the Arctic Ocean to Prince William Sound. The cost of the single 48-inch in diameter pipeline was $8 billion. Since its opening, it has sent more than 15 billion barrels of oil to the lower 48 states. By the way, the steel pipe is resistant to gunshots, but in 2001, a drunken gunman shot a hole into a weld, causing a 6,000-barrel oil spill. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Todd Gleason, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL in Urbana-Champaign. Joining us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on a Thursday afternoon is meteorologist Pete Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another beautiful day here in Urbana-Champaign.
Yes, they've been few and far between this season, but we should make the most of the next couple of days where it'll be mostly like today. A few showers are breaking out again in parts of Iowa today, and some of them maybe isolated into Illinois tonight and tomorrow. And then Saturday, maybe a little bit partly cloudy and sunny, but still pleasant weather. It starts to turn downhill again, unfortunately, next week as we get into cooler weather, cooler temperatures. And that's fine as long as they last, but then when the warm air tries to come back in the latter part of next week, I think we're going to see the rain moving back up through the plains about late Wednesday and Thursday, and then across the Midwest on Friday and Saturday. So this respite is good, and we should make the most of it while we've got it here.
And by the time we get to that time frame, at least here in our part of the world, a rainfall probably would be recommended and maybe wanted. But it sounds like there might be another clash of the Titans with cold weather or with cooler temperatures and then warmer weather coming in. A volatile mix again?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, the jet tends to weaken as we get into the warm season, so the intensity of individual storms is not as great. But yes, I think maybe by the latter part of next week we're going to see that volatile weather again and hear the booms of thunder and some gusty winds and the rattle of hail, I think, by the time we get into the end of next week.
Have you looked at the satellite photos of Iowa, and what can you tell me?
Yeah, well, from a general picture, they're just the patchy areas of cloudiness. If you mean the visible ones on where the flooding is, well, we can all see where that is down through the middle part of the state and then over to the eastern parts of the state. But weather-wise, they're just areas of partly organized showers and thunder showers, central, south, central, and western Iowa right now.
Have you been keeping track of China lately?
Yes. I'll be going there in a few weeks, by the way, looking for a solar eclipse the 1st of August. Very wet in the south. The monsoon seems a little bit stuck across the area from the Yangtze southward, so they're getting some flooding rains in there. That isn't too good. They are getting some showers up in North China where they're waiting for the monsoonal rains because this is the time of year it does rain in North China and that produces the crop. So we are going to see some rains work northward in China, but it's a little too wet in the south.
And speaking of your trip to China, didn't you chase a solar eclipse? Was it a solar eclipse you chased to
Yes,
Egypt?
That's what we do.
Yeah, I thought so. So you travel the world. You travel some really cool places in the world to watch solar eclipse.
That's one of the best things about it is because they occur in places people don't normally get to, and when you get there, you usually find there's a lot of interesting stuff around that has nothing to do with astronomy. So it's a very enjoyable trip.
All right. Well, good luck on that one, and we'll talk with you again next week, okay?
Okay, fine.
All right. Peter Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on Thursday afternoons. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL. This is Inter-Banna-Champaign. Our thanks to Randy Miller and his group of stations that carry this programming content, including WHOW out of Clinton, WTIM out of Taylorville, and added this week, WKEI in Kewaunee. Our thanks to Randy and those radio stations. I'm Todd Gleason.